positive message, because it means that that wound can be healed at any time. You see, if the trauma is what happened to me now 77 years ago, that my mother gave me to a stranger, that'll never not have happened. But if the trauma is what I made it mean, the wound that I sustained, that I wasn't a lovable, worthwhile human being, that wound can be healed at any moment in all of us. So the last and longest section of the book explores what we call pathways to healing, or pathways to wholeness. That's the meaning of healing. There are many different pathways. There's no one size fits for all. It needs to begin with the recognition that how are we living and how we are relating to ourselves and others is not healthy. It may be the norm in this culture, but it's neither healthy or natural, and there are better ways. And the same thing is true for our culture. And the essential first step is what I call being disillusioned. Now, people usually think of disillusionment as discouraging and somehow negative. No. Would we rather be illusioned or disillusioned? Would we rather see the world through rose-colored glasses, not seeing what's in front of us? Or would we rather deal with reality the way it is? In the final chapter, I quote James Baldwin, the great, great James Baldwin, who said that not everything that's faced can be healed, but nothing that's not faced can be healed.
Dr. Gabor Maté, the acclaimed Canadian physician and author with a son Daniel of the new book, The Myth of Normal, Trauma, Illness, and Healing in a Toxic Culture. Dr. Maté will be appearing tonight here in New York City at the 92nd Street Y, where he'll be in conversation with Tara Westover, the author of Educated. And that does it for our show. To see all our interviews with Dr. Maté, you can go to democracynow.org. Happy belated birthday to Sam Alkoff. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augusta Messiah-Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Charina Nadura, Sam Alkoff.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programmings of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website, kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Governance and Policy Committee meets quarterly on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify that a meeting is being
held. When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is...
Tune in to The Dirtbag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's The Dirtbag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on
KBOO
Portland. Listen, laugh, learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
The Gap. The Gap. The Gap.
Portland's favorite talk radio at 8 on Fridays returns at 8 on Friday, September 16th. Tammy and Althea are back to bring you thoughtful insights, colorful commentary, activist interviews, and community conversation. Minding it, bridging it, filling it in. The Gap returns to KBOO on Friday, September 16th at 8 a.m.
The Gap. The Gap. The Gap.
Yeah.
good morning to all. How's it going? How's it going? How's it doing? My name is Tammy. This is KBOO Portland. You are listening to The Gap. With me is the lovely, beautiful, smart, wicked smart.
Oh.
Althea Billing.
Oh, my goodness. We are back, people.
I'm doing the slow clap.
So I'll do a slow clap with the. I've added some applause into our theme song because we're back. We've been gone for 2 months. This is The Gap. We're so happy to be with you. Back by popular demand, I'd say. The people needed us, and we came back. We didn't forget about you this whole time.
Never.
How are you doing, Tammy?
I'm doing well. It's, you know, being back here, it's like muscle memory or like training wheels of a bike.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You got all the buttons. I missed all the buttons. I back in charge.
Yeah.
In charge of buttons. How about you? How
back
are you feeling?
In the driver's seat. I'm good. I'm glad to be here. We got a good show lined up for you. The return of The Gap.
It is back.
It's back. Shout out to Lenita Duke for the inspiration for that edit that I did from Let's Talk About Race. Big ups to that edit. not mine, hers. But if you haven't heard The Gap before, you know, what are we trying to do here?
Oh, good question.
There's a gap. We're minding it. We're bridging it. We're filling it in. Like whether it's the generational gap, the gap in our understanding. This is a metaphor that applies to any number of things. And that's what we're here to do. Talk radio on Fridays here on KBOO Portland. And we got a great show for you today. We like to do our show in two halves. So for our first half today, we have some local, national, international news items that we want to talk with you about. And then in the second half, we do have a community question for folks to call in. So if you've missed us like we miss you, stick around for 8:30. We do want to talk to you.
Yes. And I missed this very much. I missed you and seeing you shine. And I guess, yeah, this is the third season of The Gap here.
Yeah, season three.
Wow. And they said everyone was very supportive.
Yeah, people have been supportive of
us.
Yeah,
super supportive.
We don't have a lot of haters.
No.
That's not an invite, by the way. we enjoy being held in esteem.
Our own biggest enemies.
Yeah, truly.
Since we've been gone for a little bit, and a lot has happened. A lot has happened. Mm. We figured we'll just kind of start with highlighting some of the local, domestic, international story, one each.
Yeah.
That we would like to kind of to mention, even though it's not at all at all in the, you know, indicative of any of the stuff, any of the huge amount of things that happened in the last few weeks and months.
Did you, while we were off, did you find yourself like missing getting to talk about that stuff?
I was like saving stories. I'm like, ooh, this and that. And but the media, the conference that we went to, the community media conference, was really the best. I really enjoyed, got a lot out of it. And also it was great to see like just local people from, you know, like local journalists, organizers, communication folks from all these awesome nonprofits in our town. It was really great. And we made a lot of connections. So, some great interviews coming up this season.
Exactly. Yeah. So should we jump in? Are you ready for that? That kind of thing?
You see this?
She's rubbing her hands together. I know what that means. Okay, so we got three quick stories we're going to go through, and then we have one more current local issue that we want to go in depth on. The first one, can I go first?
Yes, okay? Please do.
All right, the first one for our local story is from Street Roots. The article is titled HUD Launches Affordable Housing and Rehousing Initiative to Combat National Homelessness Crisis. And this is reporting from Street Roots from actually the beginning of August, so while we were off, that talks about Project Turnkey from the state level and investing in transitional housing across the state. This specifically is about an Econo Lodge, or a former Econo Lodge near Hillsborough, near downtown Hillsborough, that with funding that Washington County got from the state, got turned into temporary transitional housing and has been largely successful. And I just thought this was like a cool story, you know, especially because housing and houselessness are persistent issues in our community. And we don't often get to hear about things that are working. And there's a lot of, you know, feelings that nothing is happening. And obviously progress is always too slow, but it is good to see when these things do make a dent in here. So in 2020, Project Turnkey, the Oregon legislature allocated $65 million. In less than 7 months, the project created 19 shelters in 13 counties, upping the statewide number of shelter beds by 20%. That's a pretty decent dent for 7 months. And then in 2022, they added another $50 million in funds for emergency shelters and transitional housing, like the Econolodge. And yeah, it's a great article. It also talks about, you know, how counties purchasing motels and hotels can be a good alternative to, you know, building new congregate shelters, one which aren't largely preferred and are often like people would rather stay away from those than stay in that kind of environment. But that, you know, structures that are already built, infrastructures that's already there, and, you know, the Sukarno Lodge now has a new life as a low barrier to entry transitional shelter situation.
For sure. And I see that it says that Eugene is going to join this initiative as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up.
There's a bunch of counties that are...
It says Portland has declined to participate so far, but this is that still true?
I don't know, but...
Oh, Ted! what is wrong with you?
Ted's got his own plan. Unfortunately. But yeah, that's my local story. Should we go to the national?
Yeah, I really like that. That's a good story.
I want to do a nice one.
Yeah, you know? And this is really important. We'll also keep an eye out for that. And then I guess the next level of that would be the domestic student loans, inflation reduction.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened. We don't want to dwell too much. We know you know about the student
loans. But
it's been 2 months and
apply.
Yeah, you got to say you want it. The 10,000 or the 20,000, depending on what kind of loans you got. But hey, you know, it's not everything that folks hope for, but it is good.
They said, remember us next time you go voting. I don't know why I'm rubbing my hands maliciously. Just remember us next time you're voting.
Yeah.
It's less malicious.
Remember that the Democrats took away $10,000 of your debt.
Yikes. Sure. And then do you want to talk about it a little bit more?
No, I mean, I just wanted to, and it's cool, you know, just it's cool that that happened. It's cool that something good happened for once.
And it,
sorry,
that's, impacts that's a lot of morbid. Our, a lot of our lives.
Yeah.
Folks in you know, there's a lot of people.
Younger and middle generations have a lot of student debt.
Yes.
And, you know, it'd be cool to wipe out all of it, and we know that it won't hurt the economy to do that, so all of like the belly aching about that is kind of misplaced, but it is nice to put a dent in it at least.
Listen, that social media communications degree isn't going to pay for itself. I kid.
Whoa. Next she's going to come for the philosophy majors. Okay. Watch out.
I did poli sci. I can't. I have nowhere, absolutely nowhere to talk.
Social sciences. That's an oxymoron.
I didn't.
And they want
it.
More women in STEM. And they, you know?
international. I guess, and this is one of the articles that I, we were on hiatus, that I saw that blew my mind, and I was honestly like kind of upset but also not surprised that it didn't get as much traction as it did. But Israel did admit that it is very possible that it was their IDF bullets that did indeed kill the American Palestinian journalist Shireen Abu Akla, and the murderer is not going to face any jail time under the guise of they were doing what the state wanted them to do, which is also kind of, it's like, oh wait, so did you do it on purpose? Did you not? Still confusing. The U.S. has also did their own investigation and kind of found the same. Actually, it was numerous different organizations that did investigation and found the same results. So I thought it was just kind of I don't know. I was hoping there'd be a little bit more traction. Unfortunately, there isn't. But I'm glad that we get to hear Shireen's family, you know, on Democracy Now, and just kind of, you know, getting their voice heard. So I mean, I guess this is kind of justice. This is very, very, you know, barely anything in the bucket, but I hope that it brings some peace to the family. And I don't know, journalists, you know, this the work that journalists do is very important, and we've got to protect them every way that we can. So that was the international story that I wanted to highlight. Thank you so much. And we can step into the first part of the show.
That was our rapid fire.
That was our rapid.
We have a bigger thing to talk about.
Oh boy, this is really, I'd say almost a case study of reading newspaper, or of reading information, of, you know, consuming media, and basically what happens when you don't look at it critically and analyze it a little bit, and then which is kind of part one, and then part two of what happens when you do have news outlets that do analyze it and do think critically and kind of take it to the next level. And got so many things. Slow journalism comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, interests come to mind. And yes, Althea, if you want to cue it up.
Sure, I'd be glad to talk about it. So this is about news that came out last week that 10 Portlanders with disabilities filed a lawsuit against the city of Portland, saying that the city allowing sidewalk camping for homeless people violates the Americans with Disabilities Act, which has, you know, provisions that provide, like, that we have to have sidewalks and that the sidewalks should be clear so that people can navigate them if they need mobility aids and stuff like that. So obviously that's big news, suing the city and stuff like that. But looking at different sources from media in our area, you get a different picture of what's going on. because, you know, facially it makes sense, you know, oh geez, blocking sidewalks, that is a problem. And, you know, COIN covered the press conference where folks were talking about it. And they, you know, quoted folks that were saying that, you know, the city has let them down and that they've been harassed, they've been assaulted, they've had to, you know, walk or drive in the street instead of on sidewalks because of being impeded by campers and stuff like that. Willamette Week also just kind of goes through this as well, that the city has failed to maintain its sidewalks and that it's, you know, dangerous for people with mobility disabilities, which is probably true. And it talks about how... Excuse me. It talks about how the lawsuit asks the city, or rather, if they win the lawsuit, it would force the city to clear all the sidewalks of tents and make shelter available to those who were swept, even if that means constructing shelters, because we are under a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision from 2017 that says you can't sweep people off of public property if you don't have anywhere else for them to go.
Any available beds. Yeah.
Right. So that's that is what it bare bones kind of says, right? You go to different sources, you get a little bit of a different picture. So, for example, with the Portland Mercury and the way that OPB reported on it gives you a more complicated and nuanced picture. Because I think if you... basically, my reading of the Willamette Week and the COIN coverage was very much like cut and dry, like, oh goodness, this is a problem, you know, this is a lawsuit that totally makes sense and totally should be taken up. But there are a couple extra questions that the OPB and the Mercury article ask and answer that I think kind of just complicates this picture. And that is the truth of the world, right, is that things are complicated.
It's a nuance. This is that hated word that everyone doesn't want to hear. It's nuance.
Yeah, it is.
It's not even nuanced, just going in depth, really.
Yep. So part of it has to do with the lawyer behind the case.
Mm.
Part of it has to do with that Disability Rights Oregon, which is one of the largest advocacy groups in the state for people with disabilities, declined to join in on the lawsuit, even though they were invited, with the executive director saying in a statement that the litigation wrongly pitted some people with disabilities against other people with disabilities. Mm. And at the last point in time count of homeless people in Multnomah County, 62% reported some kind of disability.
Sure.
Nowhere in this lawsuit does it touch on folks who are homeless who have disabilities. And OPB talks to somebody who says, you know, tents on the sidewalk can make it difficult to move around. They have a mobility disability, but also the homeless sweeps make it difficult for them because they have to relocate all their belongings. And the Mercury kind of adds to that as well, talking about the one of the lawyers on the case, whose name is John DiLorenzo, who is a figure in Oregon lawsuits, I suppose, taking on the government often on behalf of property owners and moneyed businesses. So there's a whole litany of things that he's done here. He was the attorney behind the 2020 lawsuit accusing the state of limiting businesses' economic revenue because of COVID-19.
Of like COVID-19 restrictions.
Yep. Yeah. And he sued but failed to overturn Portland's renter relocation ordinance on behalf of landlords. And he also has this. I'm going to quote from the Portland Mercury article here. Outside of the courtroom, DiLorenzo has a personal stake in sweeping homeless camps. DiLorenzo co-owns an apartment in downtown Portland and in 2021 took it upon himself to hire a private security team to investigate criminal activity taking place at homeless encampments near his property. He used the results of that investigation to lobby City Hall to remove the camp, and within weeks it was swept. Mercury also, just running through all of this. I want to hear all your thoughts. But Mercury also talks about the ADA regulations, this idea of upholding the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is, you know, an important piece of legislation, but it's not the first time that it's come into play in Portland's homeless restrictions, or it has been used to police homeless populations in other parts of the U.S. through city policy. And through lawsuits. So in 2019, there were several cities in California that were sued for violating the ADA. In 2020, beloved governor, Texas Governor Greg Abbott suggested that the city of Austin use ADA violations to remove homeless people from sleeping on sidewalks.
So disgusting.
So gross. I thought it was a real separation of what your impression is and what you walk away with from the story if you read from these two sources versus these two sources who ask the question, who is the lawyer? Has this kind of ADA lawsuit ever been filed before? And what about houseless people who
the intersection
have disabilities? Yeah. Why isn't Disability Rights Oregon a part of this? Those are four important questions that give you a more complicated picture of what's going on.
Yes. That was very good. Thank you so much. First off, it's so disgusting to use something like that as a weapon to eventually sweep people from tents, in the sweep, what about like all the folks that are living in tents that are disabled?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I where's Johnny Boy for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just really it really makes me sick, because it's not it's like they're trying to use every single tool in their arsenal, you know, in their power. And it's like tools that people fought really hard to fought for, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's not like, you know, to get it manipulated like this is really, really disgusting. And also, you know, having, you know, the largest disability advocacy group not want to be part of this, like that's a huge red flag.
That, yeah,
huge.
That should mean something to people. And
I think that they should take it upon themselves. Well, I don't know, they should do whatever they want, but who would take it upon themselves to at least show that this is a very one-sided argument? And again, you know, it goes back to, you know, journalism. Like, it's journalists. They're the ones that are going to break this and ask these questions, because everyone has vested interest in this. And it's really, I'm really stoked to see this. Also, I'm looking at the Willamette Weekly. I don't know if their website got hacked.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. Sorry, I can send you a new link.
Did it get hacked? What happened?
I don't think it got hacked. I don't know what happened. I'm going to put a new link in here. But I saw that as well.
Joe? Is it 4th of July? What is this?
I don't know. I'm not totally sure. I put a new link in the run sheet for you.
Very confusing.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
But yeah, you know, I think it does really go to that kind of critical thinking, and that, like, just thinking about readers out there, news consumers, like, not all of us are necessarily trying to read four different versions of the same
right,
article.
Right, yeah.
I am, because it's my job, but... and spotting those differences and seeing what questions are asked and what questions are covered, I think is really important. And like that you as a news reader should also have those questions, you know?
Right.
Of, you know, who are the people that are involved in this? Like, who's representing them? What do they stand to gain, you know?
Well, you know, considering that this is, no wonder, like, we're all living in that we can't even find like a common thread of what quote unquote reality or the truth is.
Mm.
Like, you know, it really seems like these are two different, you think that they're two different stories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that the Mercury, and you know, they went and they were kind of asking the next level questions. But you know, if you don't, and especially if you just like walk down the street and take everything as face value and don't think that there's like a rhyme or reason for any of these things to be the way that they are, then yeah, you know, like it's pretty much like, without contextualizing it a little bit more, I think that I can understand how people can like grab onto the sentiment without asking, well, how did folks get into this into this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, with all due respect, most of us are one hop and a skip away from being in a situation of having to really seriously consider how we're going to be able to, like, you know, how are we going to have shelter, you know? Mm-hmm. So first off, let's grab some humility first.
Yeah.
But, you know, to think that people like just, you think this is fun for folks to just like, mm-hmm. to do this? No, not at all.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. I don't think it's like a totally cut and dry thing, you know?
No,
and
of course
I think,
not.
Yeah. And I think that like, I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody that would say that, no, things are working good right now and we're happy with how they are. You know, this is nobody's like ideal world of how things are. And the city also moves incredibly slowly. Like I think all of us know that, and hasn't taken sufficient action to combat the housing affordability crisis, the homelessness crisis, like haven't taken enough action to make a dent in that, like obviously, but that it isn't just one way, you know? Two things can be true at once. It's very difficult for us to find that two things are true at once.
That is very true, because while, you know, we're talking about this, but you remember we started the day, or we started the morning talking about the hub.
The HUD.
The
Project Turnkey.
Yes, the Turnkey project. So, you know, it's like, these things can definitely live together, and I think it's, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little hippie-ish, but it's about, like, where we decide collectively to have our energy goes, you know? And I think that as a community, I hope that we strive to kind of like lead by protecting the weakest, you know, or most disenfranchised. And as we see time and time again, you know, like the powerful and, you know, other folks like go by the most powerful and the ones that are like our loudest and have the most money and protect those interests, you know, and we see this over and over again with like the sweeps and the what was it, an Old Town echelon and all of that. Like, we see what interests are being protected, and it's like silly things like property can be rebuilt, you know, but losing your medication and then, you know, going into cardiac arrest and dying and having your whole family suffer that,
yeah,
you know, that's not even like a hypothetical, that's a real, you know, it's a real story, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think we can definitely, I hear you with there a lot of truths happening at the same time, and it doesn't do us any favors, and it's dishonest to ourselves to just look at things that at the face value, or at the surface level, you know, because, you know, face, sure, like you got to look at reality and see reality, or there are facts, and this is all like conceptual, right? Because
talk to me.
But if you, you know, you look at the situation, you just think like, oh, this is the way it is, just because the way it is. That's so, really?
Yeah.
Really? Like, you really think this is the way it is just because it's like someone ordained it to be this way? Like,
right.
No, absolutely not, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, this is all just to sort of say, hey, do some critical reading and read from more than one source. Like, highly, highly recommend that. You're going to get a different picture of what happens based on how the story is told and what context is delivered as well. And that, you know, without that kind of thing, because there's like the facts of, like, the facts that are reported are not untrue. Those are the facts of what happened.
And that's tricky, yeah.
But without context, you know, and this is kind of like a thing that, you know, we're not trying to like indict any like news outlet or journalist or anything, because they're on a rush to press. They want to be, they're trying to get to be the one with the most clicks, you know? And that's like how journalism and funding journalism happens now. Like, that's not necessarily their fault, but like without the added context, what people walk away with is going to be informed by their preconceived notions or the prejudices or the, you know, the modus operandi of society at the time, which is that, you know, which I think baseline is like, oh, it's an eyesore. It's a problem that there are people camping on the street right now. and they're definitely a problem in the sense that they should be inside. Mm-hmm. I'd prefer that they were inside, but you know, without that context, you don't necessarily see the whole picture of the forces that are at work. And those forces want you to just see it in a very plain way, that this is good or this is bad, rather than it's all shades of gray.
Right, because then they will be held accountable, you know, because mm-hmm. there is, it's like the situation, that the housing situation is so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
There is, it's not like, it's not just one entity that messed up. It's not just one I think it's a lot of, you know, the Batman meme, and it's Spider-Man and Spider-Man is pointing at other Spider-Man.
Like,
no, it's you. You know, and
even
it's, I think it's really hard, and that creates a lot of red tape for orgs to, you know, for funding just to do things. But there is, I don't know, I'm feeling hopeful this year, and I don't know why. Yeah. And you know me being prescient and all.
Yeah, Tammy's 2022 prediction, for anybody who didn't remember, is that somebody's going to get sued. And that has been so true.
A lot of folks got sued.
It's been so true. Are we good to go on this segment?
Do you want
me to do... We're doing a little countdown to elections. Yes?
Yes, go for
Quick little countdown to elections. We're going to bring up more stuff as we run into the midterm elections, of course. And we're going to have a song for it, but we don't today because, you know what? It's our first day back. That's okay. But, of course, registering to vote deadline, I believe, is early next month if folks are not registered already. And I did want to make a quick plug for KBOO's Citizens Agenda Survey. We did one of these back in 2020 for KBOO News and KBOO programmers to get a sense of what our listeners are really thinking about going into the midterm election so that elections coverage can be designed around that. And, you know, the main question is, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? That's a very simple question. What is most important to you for candidates to be talking about? There's a couple other questions on there. And if you fill it out and give us your contact info, you can be entered to win a $50 sweepstakes for a Visa gift card.
Sweepstakes.
So if you're interested in doing that, the link is bit.ly/KBOO-survey. bit.ly/KBOO-survey. Get entered to win $50. Let us know what you need from election coverage. And I'm miming shaking hands. We're all shaking hands and we're helping each other get informed for the midterms.
This is fantastic. I'm looking forward to the results to know what, mm-hmm. what folks are interested in.
Yeah, and it closes like next Saturday, I think. So.
Ooh.
So jump on it, please.
There's a deadline.
Let us know what you want to know.
Get up in there.
All right, are we ready for a midway song and we'll come back?
Indeed, we're going to go on a short musical break and we'll be back afterwards. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland.
We'll be right back.
And we are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. We are opening up the phone lines for our second part of the show, in which we ask you, the listener, a community question, and we hope that you call in. And this week, can you hear that? Yeah, there you go. So there's been some news. In the news, we have seen that the Queen of England has passed, and we've been seeing a lot of hot takes. A lot, this flaming hot takes, all about all sorts of different things, and in all sorts of different in spirits of many different emotions, and facts and colonialism, and
sure.
We've been and there has been some of this like respect the dead posturing, or kind of like you know, people like knock it off, respect the dead, which is an interesting concept for someone who well, first off, it's not like your family or anything, like, you know, so it's like, what's that all about? But also, like, just that idea that if there's someone who's caused you harm and they pass, or cause harm in general and they pass, like, what's up with that respect the dead concept? Where does that go?
And then, what does it mean? Is it important?
Yeah. And then you also added there's a new book that came out from that actress.
Yep. Child star Jeanette McCurdy wrote a book. Her memoir is called I'm Glad My Mom Died. And this also stirred up this kind of thing. Even before the book came out, before anybody had read it. How dare you? How dare you say that about your mom?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, that's what we want to pose to the listener. What do you think about the idea of respecting the dead? Is that something that is important? What does it mean to you? What does it look like? Give us a call. 503-231-8187 is the number.
Yes, phone lines are open for you to call in. Let us know what you think. 503-231-8187.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth, especially with the death of the Queen, of... well, I think the part of this has to do with internet culture, I think, and maybe just us culturally generally, but everybody wants to make it about them. They're like, oh, I met the Queen. Or there was a supercut on the Daily Show of every journalist saying like, oh, I covered the races once, or like, I was there at the Golden Jubilee. Like, everybody wants to make it about themselves. So I'm like personally devastated that the Queen died. But there's also a lot of folks, obviously, from because she was queen for so long, for all of the sort of quasi-demise of British colonialism, all of those former colonies, all of those in the Commonwealth, may have differing feelings about the queen being dead and what that represents, and that it maybe represents a good thing for them.
Yeah, when I first heard the news, the first thing that came to mind, I'm just like, Ireland!
Ireland, yeah.
And we do have Victoria on the line. Victoria, can you hear us?
I can.
Awesome. Hi. You're on the air with us.
Great. Us? here's the thing. People like to memorialize in all kinds of ways, and they want to keep people alive who are dead. They keep totems, they keep furniture, and so this is just another effort where people have their ways of grieving and having wonderful memories, or you know, worship. All these things are, you know, part of human beings. So whether it's a queen or it's a dog, people tend to try to bring back or bring alive their memories, because death is final.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these things that humans have a very difficult thing. Well, not all humans, but Western civilization, at least, the people have all kinds of hang-ups around death.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's very true.
Anyways, that's my poem for the day.
Thank you, Victoria.
We appreciate it. Yeah, thank you so much.
I covered a lot of ground there, but...
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
I was just trying to you know, I have an opinion, though, about the Queen and the Queen's death and that.
Do you think
thing.
That at this moment it's, like, should people be talking about, you know, the maybe the negative parts of her legacy right now, or is it important to, quote-unquote, respect the dead?
Well, I think that's bogus, respect the dead, because, honestly, what is history?
Mm.
History is, well, at least the truth, not a lot of the stuff that's told to us, like on corporate media, but it's the negative, it's the bad stuff and the good stuff. Honestly, mm. the culmination of a person's life,
mm-hmm.
they have bad things that they've done, and they have good things that they've done. Well, the Queen, the monarchy, you know, it's just, it's still going on, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my opinion is, yes, everybody should talk about whatever it is that they feel like talking about, because what else is there in life?
Right.
Except to have fun expressing yourself, whether it's about negativity or bad things that happen or good things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
At least we're sharing.
Mm.
That's great. I love that, Victoria. Thank you so much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate
right.
that.
You have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
I like,
I like
the whole
that.
Respect the dead thing is bogus. That's a great pull quote from what Victoria said.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And we have another listener on the line. Can you hear us?
I can.
Hello,
there
hello.
You
are. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's nice to hear your contentious voices again.
Good, yes.
couple of things. You talked earlier about information and versus data. You know, yeah, people can report stuff they know or whatever's in the news release, but if you get more in depth or you have a broader outlook, you include different things. Part of what's going on in the strength of republicanism, quote unquote, is that they're shaping the narrative and they're demonizing their foes. When Hillary Clinton was being beaten up for her email records and unsecured communication, they said, well, some of this stuff is top secret, blah, 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 and she should go to jail and this and that and the other. And they were very explicit about what they thought was proper in terms of people mishandling confidential communications. But now it's, oh, well, he's the president. He declassified this. He did what he wanted to. He's our pal, so
mm-hmm.
none of that matters. I mean, that's the difference between data and information in my book.
Uh-huh.
Now, about the Queen was an icon, 70 years on the throne. She lived through and somewhat oversaw the shrinking of the empire and many other things. She's not a blameless person.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that the dead should be honored and their past sins should be forgiven is a little bit of an outdated concept.
Mm-hmm.
But she earned respect for a lot of things that she did and the way that she conducted herself and the way that she assisted in the running of the country, but not everything that she did was honorable, and there was lots and lots and lots of baggage that she assumed at the tender age of, what, 21?
Something like that,
and,
yeah.
So, you know, it's a two-sided coin, and it's still in spin, so that's my two cents.
Hey, we appreciate you calling.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your two cents.
You take care.
Good day.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
One.
I like how the caller said, that's my two cents. and then said something, and it's two sides of the coin, too. I don't know if you noticed that, but that was good.
It's the nuance in the two
sides. The nuance, yeah. That
was, I'm talking about the edge of the coin.
You know what? I'll take it. That was very respectful, very diplomatic.
Yeah. Two things can be true at once.
Two things can be true.
That's like the theme of today.
Yes, this is true. And we also have Harry on the line. Harry, can you hear us? Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Can you hear us?
Harry.
Oh, hold on. I know what I did.
Okay. If other folks want to call in, I'll make a quick plug. 503-231-8187. What do we think about respecting the dead? We're talking about it in the context of the Queen, but is that an important thing for us to be doing? Give us a call.
503-231-8187. And sorry, Harry, I accidentally hung up, so please call again.
Yeah, if other folks want to call, please do. I was going to say something. Oh, there was... So obviously, people were having a field day on Twitter about this.
Ugh.
And, you know, certain people were upset, obviously, and were saying something to the effect of, like, oh, well, how would you, like, she's so important, like, how would you like it if somebody, if you're like, your country's leader died, and somebody said, you know, you think that we're not gonna have a different field day when George W. Bush dies? You'd be wrong, you know, like, the idea of, you know, respecting the dead, and, you know, How does that play out? You're on, Tammy.
Sure thing. Hold on one second.
How does that play out for different people? You got callers over there?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's do the callers, please.
I'm learning. Y'all know I'm usually very good at this.
No, she is very good. She took a 2-month break. It's season 3. We give her a break.
Go ahead. We have Harry on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
There it is. How's it going, Harry? You're on there.
Pretty good. Welcome back. And also, a comment about the Queen. You have to realize how powerful she was. Even though they say it was a constitutional monarchy, Britain really isn't a democracy.
Mm.
The only people, only time you go vote for their government is the House of Commons.
Mm.
The House of Lords, all they're appointed.
Mm.
And the Prime Minister still has to talk to the Queen. She gives her opinion and everything else. It usually goes, that way. So there's a possibility there was talking that maybe King Charles III will make Britain into a republic.
Mm.
That means, you know, everything is voted for, and, you know, because there's a lot in Britain, there's a lot of things that are appointed, you know, and, you know. But also, her dying. When Princess Diana died, they came out with a beanie baby of her. Do you think they'll come out with the beanie baby of Queen Elizabeth II?
That is a great question. Let's get Beanie Babies on the line. Call in.
Oh, Harry, you always come with the great knowledge and points. I love it.
Okay, thank you very much. And you got and again, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
It's great to be back. Beanie Babies. Oh, man, these are the real questions.
I'm going to Google it.
Do you?
Keep talking.
In these conversations, I saw someone say, it was actually Jello Biafra, a good friend of the show, and he goes, thank God at least America doesn't have royals. And in the comments, they're like, we're not too sure about that. It was interesting to see that. And we have another caller on the line. Can you hear us?
Good morning.
How's it going? We can hear you on there.
Good, in general. So it sounds like you're focusing kind of on maybe two things, the monarchy in England, perhaps, and how people think about people who've died. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. Respecting the dead.
Okay. I would say on the latter question, it kind of depends who. It sounds like your framework is a philosophical question, but I think it depends on who, and this is political analysis, which is if people help things... you know, social justice, organizing, things that KBOO's supported for decades, that's good. But if you're talking about Nixon or once Trump dies, I'm not so sure. And I think it seems like politically that right-wing or conservative people, dishonored that, like McCain, not necessarily being a great person per se. His vote helped save ACA and health care with Obama. But Trump really just Trump trashes everyone, of course, but in particular trashed McCain. And so I think it depends on which specific people you're talking about. In Portland, you may or may not have heard of Portland Gray Panthers, G-R-A-Y, but we're working on trying to get a postage stamp for Maggie Kuhn, K-U-H-N. She founded Gray Panthers. And the criteria is you have to be dead, and you have to be a United States person. You can't be international. So no one who was born in Ireland or South Africa or the English colonies or even just Great Britain itself would be eligible. But so what do you think about that? Do you think that matters, or do you want more of a philosophical approach to honoring dead people?
No, I mean, I appreciate what you said. I think it is kind of complicated, and I think that that's what a lot of folks have said today, is that it's not, it shouldn't be this kind of cut and dry thing that everybody gets respect when they die.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah. Well, hey,
did you have other thoughts on the monarchy per se?
Well, I mean, the thing that I was going to highlight next was, you know, hey, remember why the United States was founded. Remember why everybody ended up over here in the first place was to kind of get away from the monarchy. And there was also a funny thing that I saw online of the, I believe, Broadway productions of Les Mis and Hamilton putting out Instagram posts like, we are deeply saddened by the loss of the Queen, and our hearts and thoughts and prayers go to the British people at this time.
It's they better not say anything on 4th of July.
Do you remember what your what these plays were about? You guys are in them. I would think you would know.
But we also have at Portland State a film program, and we've shown ones, not specifically because of the death of the Queen, but ones that reflect upon the legacy of Britain overall. So you've probably seen one or both. Children of Men, which is science fiction, but Britain in that story is the last vestige of civilization when people, women in the world, have gone sterile, apparently for pollution problems. But it's also critical of British policy towards immigrants and a bunch of different people. And there's also an older one, V for Vendetta, which also takes place in Britain, and also is pretty critical of right-wing tendencies in Britain. They don't deal specifically with honoring the dead or not, but they do deal with people who have too much power. The last film that we showed, people compared it, rightly or wrongly, to the charter reform movement in Portland, that it seems like people who have power, particularly Jordan Schnitzer, just donated $25,000 to the No campaign. Mm. But the charter reform movement tends to be supported, probably, you may have already talked about it in previous programs, by nonprofits of color, by the League of Women Voters, by City Club. We'll see how, but I think the main question about both monarchy and honoring dead people is, well, how is power used in both cases? Mm-hmm. And at least our group, Portland Great Panthers, we support charter reform. We think that's a really good idea. So thanks for taking the call.
For sure. Thank you
so
much.
All right.
This was a great conversation, and we have, I guess, just a couple of moments for the show.
We do have a few minutes left if folks want to call 503-231-8187. Thinking about respecting the dead with the Queen, Is it a concept? What does it mean, and to what extent should we uphold it, I guess?
I wanted to give my little two cents, because we are in our culture, you respect the dead, even if they beat you your whole life while growing up and left scars on you that you can still visibly see. Mm. You still respect them. Mm-hmm. And don't you tell anyone about nothing.
Mm.
So I think it's... I personally don't believe in that, but I definitely, I could never say anything bad about, someone in the family if my mom, she would freak out.
Yeah.
Want to grab this phone.
Right, right. Well, and the thing that it makes me think of is, because at the end of one's life is when, let's just take the Queen as the example. This is, when we talk about her legacy, everything that happened in the 70 years that she was Queen. And it is a time where obviously that is, you look at that legacy and there's a lot of things to be critical of. But at the same time, if people are saying, don't talk about that now, you have to respect the dead. I think respecting the dead and honoring the dead is different. No one's it's we're not talking desecration here. We're saying, can we have a critical discussion of what the impact is, and that not everybody needs to be in 12 days of mourning, you know? And that, you know, if you were going to be critical of her legacy, you know, 2 weeks ago to her face, they would say, hey, don't do that. She's a 96-year-old woman. Let her be.
Right.
So when is the right time to discuss that, if not after somebody's gone? She's not going to be impacted by it now.
And there's a lot of stuff happening. Don't you die the day that she gets buried. Uh-uh.
Yeah, they won't bury anybody else in the UK.
We have another caller on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey,
you're on the air. Hey, Dix, how are you?
I was like, why isn't she answering my text messages? Oh. And I turn on the radio.
Hey.
I don't have anything like that cool to say, but this reminds me of when Reagan died, and then there was like a whole website about zombie Reagan, and it was just like trashing on Reagan. And I feel like people have taken it to the next level with the Queen. Mm. I'm just like, I don't talk to anyone who cares about the Queen at all. All I hear is like Amy Goodman being like, this is a week where we talk about how we hate the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and anyways, that's my ignorant response.
We appreciate it. And yeah, I appreciate your passion.
Yes.
It's bleeped out, but we get it. And, we love your input.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We'll see ya. Bye-bye.
I can also encourage people, you know, just in the social media era that we're on, whether you like talking to people on Facebook or you're on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, you don't have to have a hot take about everything. And you don't have to have a hot take about everybody else's take. It can just be the case, oh, okay, the Queen died. Oh, I bet her family is sad. Mm. A bunch of, like, very intense things are happening in the UK right now, and you know, there's going to be a shift in the way that their monarchy works.
Also,
all of those things are true. You don't need to be like, well, it's good or it's bad or
right.
Hey, can it about saying
and
anything
it's
bad about
say,
the Queen.
I don't know. Or I don't know how I feel about that. And it's all, and you know, all these great memes, someone's got to be the one consuming them.
Yeah.
You know, y'all were ready with those memes a little too quick. I think a little too quick.
No,
we do have one
are like,
caller.
I'm gonna write the ones for George Bush now. I'm gonna just, and that's why Twitter has drafts, people. That's why.
We have another call on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Real quick, there is, I don't know if it's on the KBOO calendar, but there is a big conference this weekend at the Portland Art Museum about psilocybin laws and new everything. It's really amazing. And it's brought about by Horizons Northwest. I don't have the webpage, but they're looking for volunteers because it's kind of spendy. But it's really enlightening. Paul Stamets is speaking today. I mean, just the list goes on and on. People who have helped pass Measure 109 and all that stuff. So if you could get that out there, that would be awesome.
Cool.
We appreciate it.
It's
Thank you so much.
Horizons Northwest. It's at the art museum. It's all weekend. And spread the word, please, or put a link to it.
Cool. Thanks. We'll check
okay.
it out.
I'm running late.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you.
As are we, as it turns out. We are going to wrap things up here on The Return, Season 3 of The Gap. We're back, people. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Althea. That's Tammy. You want to get in contact with us and not call in? That's fine. Send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com. Send us a letter, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. We will do a mailbag segment if you mail
Yay.
Us something. And thank you so much for being with us. Thank you to all our callers. Thank you to Tammy.
Woo! Thank you
Back
to Althea.
Yes.
Thank you to everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.